Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and we actually have a couple people on the line. Not only is Dan here, but Mr. Fantasy is here. If you'd like to call us and talk to us here, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So if you didn't check it out yesterday, it's still right there for you if you swing over there and do that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, the three of us would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, all three of us are on Twitter. I am at Burke Time. Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
And, of course, Mr. Fantasy is at?
Mr. Fan of Sports with one S.
Yes. All right. Now, you know, Dan, after you ventured off and left us yesterday, we had quite an interesting conversation about Jerry Jones not wanting the NFL to renew Roger Goodell's contract. And believe it or not, Mr. Fantasy actually did some research into it after we went off the air here. And you want to throw those facts out that you and I were talking about just before we went on air here?
Yeah, I just found it interesting. I started, you know, here getting more information about this, and it looks like Jerry Jones owns 200 Papa John locations. And the rumor is that he's the reason that Papa John's was complaining about the ratings and you know, all that, because he's got 200 locations. So he's kind of like the puppet master behind Papa John's doing that. You know, we know that he was very involved in the Rams moving from St. Louis and going back to, you know, going to L.A. And his company got the beverage contract at the stadium for the Chargers or for the Rams. So he's collecting all the money for the beverages there. And then the Raiders, it looks like he's the lead to get this the contract for the Raiders' new stadium as well. So maybe it's not that. Maybe there's something a little bit more involved with this that, you know, is not just football related with him and you know, the commissioner. Maybe there's something with all his business entities and how he's impacting the NFL in other ways.
So what do you think, Dan? You know, obviously you had to kind of venture off yesterday. We never got your opinion on it. What do you think Jerry's reasons are here? Is it money motivated, like it sounds, or is he just, you know, like yesterday I compared him to the kid having a tantrum because Goodell took his Ezekiel Elliott toy away. Where do you kind of see him fitting in at?
No, I think it has to do with money. I mean, we've talked about it before. I think over the last couple of years with the decisions that Goodell has made, he's kind of put himself in a negative light with the owners. So I do think it's probably time for someone new to come in. I did not know that he owned so many Papa John's locations. I thought it was just Peyton Manning who was a big investor in Papa John's.
Yeah, I'd like to know how many guys actually don't pop it. That would be interesting.
Yeah, they're all over the place now. But there's, you know, if, you know, when I was, you know, looking at this, I got to hear a sports writer out of New York was kind of covering some of this stuff today as well. And he had said, you know, obviously this, you know, Jerry Jones is, you know, if he's going to sue the NFL, he's taking on 31 additional or other owners, and these guys are smart and have resources and aren't going to be a pushover for him to do anything with. And then they were walking through what the ramifications could be if Jerry Jones sues the NFL. And, you know, the very, you know, not the, I don't know how possible it is, but one of the ramifications could be the NFL could go after his franchise. You know, you saw it in the NBA. It was a completely different set of circumstances when they did it in the NBA just recently. But again, it's on the table. They could do it. The only problem is Jerry Jones's franchise is worth between $2 and $3 billion, and that's a lot of money to come up with. Remove him from the league. But if depending on how this goes, you're talking about, you know, he's not going. It's not like he's going after Joe Schlub on the corner. You know, he's going against a bunch of wealthy people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, but
oh, yeah, now apparently,
is that all the involvement he has within the league? You know, just those two teams? Because, I mean, from what it sounds like, he does have a major influence.
Well, I know he's not on the, I believe it's the competition committee. There's a 6-owner panel that runs that. But apparently he's been calling into all the meetings and has kind of made himself the 7th unofficial member of that committee to try to get a little power there. But what I heard today, what apparently his plan is, when you were talking about him suing the NFL, he's going after each owner individually. So apparently it seems like he's going to try to divide and conquer, so to speak. But again, I mean, you know, we're talking about a big-time legal fee here, aren't we? I mean, obviously he's a billionaire, or maybe he's more than that. I mean, who even knows? But, you know, he's going up against billionaires. Is this really just kind of throwing good money after bad?
Well, we'll have to see. He hasn't served anybody yet. As of today, there's been no paper served. Nothing's happened. So until he does it, it's just posturing. So, you know, and for him, it's a rounding error, you know, is what the money that you're talking about. It's, you know, even with his lawyers are making $1,000 an hour or something, it's a rounding error at the end of the day. It's nothing for him. He carries that in his pocket, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. Now, you know, Dan, I guess the other question I heard, now I'll let you answer first with this one. If Jerry gets his way and they don't renew Goodell, obviously they're going to have to go get somebody else then. Is he going to go get his guy? And obviously with the information Mr. Fantasy dug up, he already seems like the most powerful owner. If he pushes his guy through, does he almost become too powerful in a sense as, like, you know, one of 32 owners, but he would be like the main guy?
Yeah, but I thought, you know, Belichick was a big guy behind, you know, Goodell, not Belichick, the owner of the Patriots, and look what happened to them.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Fantasy, same thing your way. Does he become too powerful?
Well, if he does that, but, you got to remember, you're talking about the Rooneys, you're talking about Kraft, you know, there's a lot of long, you know, of people who have been around the league for a long time and have a lot of influence. I think there's enough personalities that they wouldn't allow that to happen, because you got to have the majority or whatever it is, 2/3 to do anything. And I would imagine that they wouldn't allow that to happen, especially if he started suing people. You know, they're going to stick it. Wouldn't you do that if we own franchises and he sued us? When's the next time you think you'd get cooperation from any of us? You know, probably when he wanted to sell his franchise and we were able to get him out of the league.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess the question becomes, I mean, do you think he would, you know, ever sell? You know, I mean, that's kind of, you know, he's got a generational team there with the Cowboys. You know, it doesn't look like
selling.
It would be that, yeah, you know, he would be willing to get rid of. So,
no,
you know, I'm not
no
sure if that
get rid of
kind
of,
you know, if that really kind of plays in with the, you know, with what's going on. But, you know, yeah, it just, it seems like they're in a, you know, a pretty tricky spot. Now, you know, there are a lot of reports out today that the NFL is really close to finalizing Goodell's extension. So, and, you know, the, like the report I have here says it expects to be 5 years is what they're looking to do. So it would carry through 2024.
You know, I don't care whether Roger Goodell gets an extension or not. Personally, I could care less. But I would just love to see it because I want to see what Jerry Jones does. You know, I have a feeling that he ends up, he'd have to eat crow and he'd back down. He's going to have to. I can't imagine he can take on the NFL and win.
No, well, here's the funny thing, Dan, and this was one of the things I noticed yesterday. They're obviously, you know, the owners vote on all this stuff. When the Goodell expansion was brought up, it was approved unanimously. All 32 owners voted in favor of giving Goodell an extension. That, of course, includes Jerry Jones, but this vote was before the Ezekiel Elliott suspension. Do you think that's the thing that kind of goaded Jones into that? Because, you know, like today, Elliott's, you know, one of his motions was denied, so he is, he's going to sit out this week against Atlanta finally. It looks like the suspension is going to kick in. Do you believe that's what got him rolling on this path of Goodell had to go?
I think that's part of it. I mean, he just seems to throw out suspensions however he feels like it. I think he kind of overstepped the boundaries.
You know, didn't Elliott have to be suspended? You know, with the way things are?
I guess that's in the eye of the beholder.
So, you know, I mean, it's,
I mean,
you know, it's just kind of one of the situations.
I mean, their target, you know, I mean, it's such a touchy situation, but I mean, if something is to happen that's illegal in the court of law, how does the NFL become, you know, the judge, jury, executioner?
Yeah, well, you know, we know the public is what laid that on him, you know, and that all started when New Jersey dropped the ball with Ray Rice. And, you know, you got to remember, Ray Rice was charged with a class 3 misdemeanor for beating up his wife, well, his fiance at the time, in an elevator. According to New Jersey, that was just a class 3 misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
So they dropped the ball first, so the NFL had to cover for them. And now it's just, you know, all of this. And, you know, Elliott was actually charged. Unfortunately, he was charged in Ohio. I believe in Columbus, where he played, he was a star for Ohio State. And as you know, when college football is the biggest thing in town, these things go away very quickly. You know, they did have the video. I know the woman didn't press charges against him, but there's actually a video of him lifting up a woman's shirt to, you know, expose her breasts. So, you know, it became more of a trend here is why I think the league had to step in. You know, maybe 6 games was a little much because I don't know if there was anything violent involved. I don't know the entire situation with his ex-girlfriend in Columbus. But, you know, sooner or later, they've got to start dropping the hammer on these guys, right? I mean, there appears to be just a lot of entitlement because they're professional athletes and the law lets them get away with it. I mean, doesn't somebody have to do something to deter their behavior?
But if this is something that happened in college that predates his NFL days, then how is it the NFL and Roger Goodell?
Well, he was already declared for the NFL draft when that happened. So he was already done with college. He was declared for the NFL draft. So I believe that's how the NFL ended up getting itself linked or involved, because he was on his way to becoming an NFL player. Is just kind of the odd situation
behind
it.
If this happened that far along ago, why wasn't this taken care of right away? Isn't this more of Goodell kind of backtracking to cover his own butt?
Well, no. You know how it is. They have to investigate everything. You know, and I mean, all that stuff is going to take time because, you know, they're going to attempt to get it correct or however, you know, they're going to do. I mean, you know, we had video of the Ray Rice situation, and look how long it took them to investigate that. You know, I mean, they had testimony for Tom Brady, and, you know, look how long that dragged out. I mean, in reality, you know, Brady dragged it out an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he played an entire season. You know, and I mean, you know the legal process. You know, these things are going to get stretched out, and, you know, the NFL has to go into court with everything investigated. Otherwise, you know, they're just going to get killed by some high-priced lawyer. So. Yeah, just one of those fun. I mean, I don't know, Mr. Fantasy, why don't you chime in here? Where are you on this? I mean, are you, you know, what are you thinking here?
You know, I didn't hear everything you said. I had stepped away for a second. I had a problem at my work, but and then I just jumped back on. But yeah, I mean, they're doing it, from what I got at the tail end of that. You know, they've got to do their due diligence, and you got to remember, this is how the league is set up. You know, the league has given Roger Goodell the ability to go after these players that don't protect the shield, that don't project the image that they're looking for. And, you know, they have every right to do that in the contract. And, you know, whether I think it's right or not, the only way to change this is to go back in and renegotiate things. And until they do that, this is the system they've, you know, negotiated and given Roger Goodell the power to do this. And of course they're doing their due diligence. I'm sure they know just as much about this as the police know about it at this point. You know, and they're not going after this guy if they don't have, you know, ground to stand on.
So yeah, now, you know, and it looks like he can't go back to court now until December 1st, that's when his next hearing is set. So he's going to miss this week against the Falcons. Then it looks like he'll miss games against the Eagles, Chargers, and Redskins. You know, at that point, isn't he just better off sitting out the other two games and getting this over with?
Well, you'd think so at that point. But it depends on what their record is and where they're at in the division. They could, without Elliott, they could end up losing all four of those games. If they go 0-4 in that division, the Eagles are already running away with it. Where are they at then?
You know, to be fair, with the way the NFL is this year, they could lose all four games with him on the team, couldn't they?
Yeah, not the way he's running. If you're watching those games, man, he's an angry runner. And then people just don't take him down.
They're 5-3 right now. So if they were to lose all four, they would be 5-7. You know, that would obviously put a big dent into their playoff hopes. You know, right now they have a minimal chance of actually winning the division because Philadelphia has played so well. They're 8-1. So they're looking at getting in as a wild card, and I believe, yeah, right now they're tied, oddly enough, with the Seahawks for what would be the second wild card spot.
The Suckhawks, huh?
Yeah.
They were so bad on Sunday.
Yeah, they were. Well, their kicker was so bad. If he would have just made some field goals, they would have won the game. But, yeah, I don't know, Dan. Are you fighting this some more if you're him, or at this point are you just going to sit out the six, and you know, you're already going to be out four. Are you just going to sit out the two more and get it over with?
I mean, you might as well, but at the same token, he's losing his money, and we know this league is all about money.
Yeah, you know, that's,
so you're
well, you know,
giving
all,
up
you know,
four games.
Money. yeah, you know, it's just one of those odd, you know, goofy things. But I did see, you know, Dan, I was excited for you. You know, I was a little worried yesterday because, you know, your guy, you know, good old Marty B got cut by the Packers. But good news for him today, the Patriots claimed him. So he's going back to New England. How happy are you about that?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said your guy Marty B is going back to New England. You're excited that he's not out of the NFL? He's going to hang around for at least the rest of the year?
Well, yeah, especially since I have him on one of my fantasy teams. But I figured he'd be picked up by somebody, so that's why I didn't drop him right away. But does that mean he's no longer on a bye week?
Yes. Yeah, well, he is hurt, so I don't know if he's going to be playing anyways. You know, you would have to look into that. But, yeah, he would not be on the bye week. So you would be able to use him if he was playing this week. So
he wasn't on a bye week before he got cut. They play the Bears this week.
Well, that's a bye week, isn't it?
For the Bears, it is. I think the Bears are going to finally get a win over the Packers. It just took taking out Aaron Rodgers because that offense just doesn't look right without him there. And you promised me that they'd be better against the Lions, and it really wasn't.
Yeah. Sadly, that game is going to suck so bad with the way the Bears offense is and with the way the Packers have been. So, and you know, the worst part is we're going to have to sit through it. It's like, oh, God, anything else,
weren't you
please.
The lone guy,
show me a clean.
Weren't you the lone guy picking the Packers in that game?
No, Stu had the Packers.
Oh, Stu had the Packers with you?
Yeah, so I was the lone guy who believed the 49ers were actually going to get a win this week. Or last week, I should say. Don't laugh too much because you did pick Miami. You did pick Miami. I don't want to hear it. So,
yeah, I did.
Yeah, no, just one of those. Well, you did win the week, but since we are on picks, we do have a game tonight. Thursday Night Football moves to NBC. So I know we're all Woo-hoo. Excited about that. The Seahawks get the opportunity to make up for the embarrassment they were last week. They take their 5-3 record to Arizona, who I believe is still playing Drew Stanton at quarterback because, well, there's just nobody else. And Arizona's actually 4-4, so they're still kind of hanging around. I mentioned off the air that we are all unanimously behind one team. So, Dan, why don't you tell us who you picked for the game, Dan, and then we'll know who everybody's going with.
Not the Cardinals.
Not the Cardinals.
Oh. Just one of those fun things. So, but yeah, we have all decided to go with Seattle, and we will see how this works out. As you know, as we all know, it is a legendary now that when we all agree on a team, it is quite frightening for that team. I'm willing to bet that we could probably get teams to send us checks to not pick them at this point in time during the season because it's getting to be crunch time, but. I don't know, you know, since you're the football expert, Mr. Fantasy, explain to us why this happens to us.
I don't know, but I was going to say the last 2 weeks, I think we've been better because we've been, you know, 13-3 and, you know, we're not losing many games. So we had to get better at the beginning of the year. We sucked when we all picked, but as the years went on, we've gotten better.
Yeah, well, last week we ate it. We all had the Texans, and they were terrible. And then we all had the Seahawks,
the
so it was
play?
Only two games. The Texans played the Colts. So,
oh, the Colts, that's right. Yeah, we did.
There were two games. We didn't agree on too many games last week, so that helped us out as well. You know, we all had the Saints, we all had the Eagles, and that was it. So we were 2-2 on games we all agreed on. So not a stellar record for us there, but probably better than what we've been. So.
And so what won the week last week?
Give me a second here, because I am sitting in the dark, and that won't do me any good when you ask these questions. You were 9-4 while Dan was 8-5. I was 7-6, and Stu was a horrible 5-8. No, I'm never sure on anything anymore. That's just what I have written down. But Dan is still winning. He is 4 games ahead of Stu. You're a game behind Stu, and I am. Oh wait, no, that's right. I'm a week behind there. Dan is 4 games ahead of you. And Stu and I are tied 6 games behind Dan, 5 games behind Dan. So that's what that apparently looks like.
So
now,
we went from, it looked like Stu was going to run away from us, to now it's kind of bunched up. Anybody's year still.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, that one, you know, you have one bad week with as close as things are, and it just, you know, it just kind of, you know, it brought him right back to the pack. That's all he needed was the one bad week. So, there are some kind of interesting games. Like, I don't assume the Bears-Packer game is going to be very good, but it'll probably be close. So, it'll be interesting. You know, I want to see how, I know Dan's put his pick in, but I don't want to give it away. You know, I know Minnesota's playing Washington. Dan, are you hoping for Teddy Bridgewater to play?
No, not this week.
Did you go out and pick him up?
Yeah,
I know you were having, you know, a Jameis Winston quarterback issue. Did you go get Teddy?
No, I went with 49ers quarterback just for the hell of it.
Oh, okay. So in the 49, well, they're playing the Giants, so maybe, you know, that may work out to your benefit. The Giants don't have a very good pass defense. He could actually put up some numbers. So.
Yeah, I need Teddy to wait one more week before he starts. I got quarterbacks on a bye, and I had to go pick up Minnesota guy this week to get me through one week. So if Teddy comes back, I'm screwed. I got nobody.
Well, Teddy is back as the backup. You know, they put Bradford on IR, so he's done. But yeah, I don't think he's quite ready to play yet. So, you know, you should be okay for a week. I don't know about next week, but well, you know, I guess it's kind of an interesting question. With as well as they've played, Dan, can they make a quarterback switch, or do they have to stay with Keenum with as good as the team has done?
I mean, I would stay with Keenum and, you know, let things kind of play out, because, you know, not to be funny, but who knows, for Bridgewater to step on the field in his first snap, he'll, you know, hurt himself again.
So now, you know, Mr. Fantasy, you don't think the Vikings should, let's call it Rex Grossman, Case Keenum? Because remember when Kyle Orton got the Bears through the playoffs and then they went back to Rex?
You know what's funny? That's exactly what I was thinking in my head. I go, don't play be Kyle Orton and Rex Grossman. The guy who gets you there, he's hurt. I know, or he's been hurt. He doesn't have the reps. I know it's a sexy thing, but go with the guy who got you there. Because I think if Kyle Orton had played that Super Bowl, the Bears win, that he doesn't turn the ball over all the time. You know, he won't turn the ball over like Grossman did, and that's what killed him, was the pick. And I think there was 2 fumbles in that Super Bowl, if I remember right, and that ended it for them.
Well, and don't forget, Indianapolis didn't allow Hefter to get one touch on a kickoff.
Yep.
After he returned the opening one for a touchdown. Keenum, you know, the Vikings are kind of an interesting case study when you look at them. You know, Keenan's not a hugely rated quarterback. You know, he's always been more of a game manager. They lose their top running back. You know, I mean, I really thought after Cook went down, you know, they were dead in the water. Stephon Diggs missed, about a game and a half maybe with that injury he was dealing with. And they're sitting here 6-2. Obviously they're going to get a little help. We know the Bears are bad. Vikings without Aaron Rodgers are bad. And Detroit really seems to be their only competition. I mean, are they are you playing the horn, Dan? Are they cruising into the playoffs here? Or how's this going to work out for them?
I still think they make it.
I know there's a pretty good Lions team that was going to have a lot to say with that.
Yeah, you know, but they've got to make up two games in, you know, what do we got left here? The Vikings have 7. They have some winnable games. I mean, the rest of the Vikings schedule is Washington, the Rams, the Lions, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Bengals, and then they close out with the Packers and the Bears. So if they're going to need late season wins, they're right there on their schedule to go get them. You know, the Packers probably aren't beating anybody, and we damn well know the Bears aren't beating anybody unless the team turns the football over. So
does that mean you're getting the Packers this weekend? You promised me you weren't picking the Bears ever again.
Yeah, no, I'm done with the Bears for the year. I'll be picking the Packers. I will even take the Browns to beat the Bears, just so you know. But okay. Maybe the division will be closer than it looks because the Lions have a really favorable schedule. You're looking at Cleveland this week, then the Bears, then they have that matchup with the Vikings, then it's the Ravens, the Buccaneers, the Bears again, and they close out with Cincinnati and Green Bay. So Detroit, you know, with the exception of that Minnesota game, I mean, they could easily go 6-1 here down the stretch. So it could be an interesting division if they don't choke it away.
So I'm meeting the family for dinner and I'm at the restaurant. So I'm going to let you guys go and, I'll talk to you guys
later. Your family or is
later.
Somebody else's? Is it your family or is it somebody else's family?
It's awkward because it's not my family. It's somebody else's family. I'm just going to sit
down
at the table.
That's probably the best thing for you. Yeah, that's probably the best thing for you. I know your family. So that's a better deal for you. So, all right, get out of here.
All right.
We ran Mr. Fantasy off. Look at that, Dan. All of us, isn't it? So, I can't believe we would do such a thing. So, but I heard, you know, there we're starting to kind of heat up on which teams are interested in which guys for baseball free agents. Do you know? Is it Monday that players can officially sign? Or that they can
10
start
days
negotiating?
I can't remember. It's like you can talk. There's a quiet period after the World Series, which goes 5 days until after the World Series. And then you have 10 days after the qualifying offers. So where are we at? I think they still have a couple of days left. I don't know, man. That CBA is very complicated. So it takes more than just reading the line.
I was thinking it was possibly Monday, but for some reason, and this one kind of came out of the blue, the big outfield name that popped up today that everybody was just really excited to talk about and try to figure out where he's going was Jay Bruce. And they profiled that it looks like he's going to get a deal. They think 5 years between 80 and 90 million. And I guess the front runners right now are the Blue Jays, the Giants, the Mariners, and the Cardinals. And I was just kind of like, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Jay Bruce, a really good player. I mean, a big time power hitter. But I didn't really see him as, you know, that big of a money guy. Are you a little shocked that, you know, that's the market he's in?
I mean, who's really left out there in his second half season with the Indians really putting
well, yeah,
out
but
there?
You know, J.D. Martinez is out there. You know, he's probably the top outfielder. You know, then I think a lot depends. You know, like Cargo is out there. You know, he's a year older than Bruce. You know, Martinez is 30, Bruce is 31, Cargo's 32. You know, and then I think a lot believes on, like, what you think a guy might have left. You know, Jason Worth is out there. You know, he's coming off that injury-plagued season. You know, you do have Lorenzo Cain out there. You know, he's got to, you know, be one of the guys who's right there. But, yeah, other than that, I don't think there's, you know, too many guys. I mean, you know, like Andre Ethier's there if you think he's healthy or that you think he'll leave the Dodgers. I don't think he's going anywhere. But, you know, like your guy Melky is out there. You know, he's really solid, not in the Jay Bruce area of money, but if you don't get Jay Bruce, maybe he's a guy you look at. You know, Cameron Maybin is still out there. You know, if he's healthy, obviously he's a quality player. So, yeah, it just kind of depends. But, yeah, it seemed like, you know, when they mentioned the money, I was just kind of like, wow, Jay Bruce is going to get, you know, that kind of a payday. I mean, obviously good for him, but are you a little surprised that the dollar number is starting off there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little high, but isn't that just today? It's just the way today is now. I mean, it's definitely not as bad as 10 years, $240 million.
Well, wait till we see, you know, Bryce Harper's contract next year when it's, you know, 10 years and $500 million.
Yeah, but Bryce Harper is a completely different situation. You're looking at a 25-year-old, not a guy who's already had an entire career. And the qualifying offers have to be all put together and done, and the quiet period is 10 days after the completion of the championship season. So what's today? Today's the 9th, so they could start signing and doing all that good stuff after Saturday. Saturday or Sunday.
But, yeah, you know, that, you know, and I guess the, you know, I guess, you know, where Jay Bruce goes kind of hinges on if a team could land a deal for Kenley Jansen, you know, if one of those teams interested, or not Kenley Jansen, excuse me, for Giancarlo Stanton. So I saw Jansen's name in the article. That's why I bobbled it out there. You know, do you think possibly we're going to wait around for some of the outfielders to sign to see what happens with Stanton? Because it appears the Marlins are going to want to trade him.
No, it's somewhat the chicken or the egg kind of thing, but I mean, I just don't understand. I guess you're trying to do the rebuild. So,
yeah,
I don't know why you're
not. Well, I guess if you're going to deal Stanton, you have to, don't you? So.
Yeah.
You know, it just, yeah, you know, it seems so, you know, kind of strange to me. You know, I get it that, okay, you got new ownership in and they're going to want to come and, you know, get their guys and have their guys in and, you know, that kind of fun stuff. But, you know, when you look at that Marlins team, I mean, they have what could possibly be the best outfield in baseball with, you know, Stanton, Marcelo Zuna, and then Christian Yelich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't, you know, are they really that far away from contending that they need to – you know, shut it down and basically start all over? I mean, they did finish in second. They were in the wild card hunt for a little while there. You know, probably a little longer than people expected. So do they really need to, you know, just be like, oh, okay, screw this. Let's dump these guys and start all over.
I mean, I think it's kind of dumb if that's the route that they're going. But you know, it is I mean, because if you're going to trade Stanton, you might as well just get rid of everybody. You know, you really don't have the drawing power. You don't have the people showing up for the game. So if you get rid of Stanton, you might as well get rid of everybody and then continue to go into red. Because it would make no sense. And the only guy who would be buying tickets would be that lawyer.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, it would make total sense, right? I mean, if you're going to dump Stanton, you might as well trade Ozuna and Yelich right after that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason to, you know, really kind of bother to bring those guys back, right? I mean, it would just be literally stupid at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was just kind of, you know, I was kind of working that through. And I mean, yeah, you start to think about it and it's like, okay, great. Well, you know, I have assets. You know, I don't think they have great pitching or anything. I know your guy, you know, Chen was dinged up all year. So that, you know, that kind of stunk for, you know, for them. But yeah, again, you know, like I said, I'm a little baffled by the idea of just, okay, well, we got to get rid of this guy. So, yeah, I wanted to see if I can get a decent depth chart here on Miami and see what's kind of hanging around with them here. But that's the whole roster. I just kind of want one by position would be really nice. Maybe this one will help me better. I guess I should have been more prepared. I, you know, didn't know I was going to do this to myself though. So that's just how I get, right? But yeah, like I was saying, I know they do have a couple guys in the bullpen who could be of interest. I know, you know, like Kyle Bearclaw or Bearcow or however they're pronouncing it is, you know, turned out to be a pretty decent guy. But all right, well, here's a projected lineup for him, Dan, what they have. You know, D. Gordon, he could obviously have some value. We mentioned Stanton, Yelich, and Ozuna. You know, Justin Bour has turned into a pretty good power hitter. JT Realmuto's become a really solid catcher. And then it would fill out with, for them, it's Martin Prado at third and JT Riddle at short. So, you know, they're I would say, well, Riddle I know is kind of up and coming, however you want to look at it there. Prado not a fantastic third baseman. But, you know, overall, that's not a terrible lineup, is it? I mean, it looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you would think they'd be in a better off position, but, you know, the tragedy held them back. And, you know, like you said, Wei-Yi Chen kind of banged up and didn't perform for what they wanted.
Yeah, you know, and then if they do get Chen back, obviously he would be in the rotation. You know, they brought Dan Straley in. They have Jose Urena, Orestma Despaigne, Dylan Peters, and then Edison Volquez, who's coming back from an injury. So, you know, they would probably be looking for starter help. Not so much probably, but pretty much definitely. You know, bullpens are so hit or miss, you know, you never know. You know, Brad Ziegler is 38, but he's had success closing. You know, I mentioned Bearclaw, who's been a really good, you know, setup guy. You know, and the rest, I mean, you know, you piece it together like every other team does every offseason. But I mean, you look at it, I mean, if they were to add a starter or maybe they have somebody in their, you know, in their minor league system who might be able to possibly step up and fill a role, you know, it just doesn't look like it's a team that needs to be torn down, does it?
No, it doesn't. It seemed like they were a team that was on the rise. And then you're going to get new owners in, and one who was, you know, part of one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, and he's going to tear it apart. And it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you know, and it does look like they have a starter who is ranked number 55, a guy by the name of Trevor Richards, who looks like he'll start the year in AAA, but don't be surprised if he's in the rotation by, you know, by the middle of the season. So, you know, they have, you know, one guy sitting there in the minors who, you know, looks like he might be able to help out, but, you know, they definitely would need to add a starter. But yeah, you know, the more it's just kind of like, you know, hey, great, it's cool. You know, Derek Jeter's back in baseball. I think it's great when these guys come back and do this stuff, but I don't know if I understand. I mean, is it just payroll that he's going to rip this team apart, or you think he's just got to put his own mark on it?
I thought it was because of payroll, but I mean, you think about it, you know, the way the game goes, it's Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and then I think hands down, it's Giancarlo next. And so you're going to take the number three player and send him off, send him packing. You know, Theo's plan was a little, I guess you could say, for Cubs fans, scary at first, but they weren't really going anywhere, and they really didn't have all that talent. So, you know, in the end, but it's like, so you weren't really going from a complete high. It would almost be like the Cubs coming on and saying, well, we're going to trade away Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's just the, the oddest thing when I hear about it. And, you know, like, I don't have a problem with teams. You know, this is the new way to do it. You know, we've seen all this, and it's just kind of like, okay, this is what we, you know, what teams do. They think they're going to win and they don't. So they rip it apart. They tear it down. Here you go. But I don't know if the Marlins have really given themselves a chance. Have they?
Mm-mm. And that was the thing. They were kind of, you know, the way Chen planning was kind of supposed to help them go in the right direction. But, you know, the injury and then the tragedy, you know, how can you escape that? You can't.
No, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, horrible. You know, sadly, you know, the more we found out about it, it appeared to be kind of self-induced. But, you know, they were still 77 and 85. You know, I mean, it kept them a ways out of their division, but, you know, they weren't horribly they were, you know, 10 games out of the wild card or so. You know, even if they were to go out and add, you know, and I know they're not going to add payroll or anything like that, but, you know, even if they added like an Alex Cobb to their rotation, I mean, if you've got a healthy, you know, healthy Chin, you know, Straley can hold water as long as he's not at the top of the rotation. And you added Cobb, if your prospect is anything, you could have, you know, a decent four-man rotation running out there. And I think you could compete. I mean, you know, especially in your division, you know, the Braves aren't quite there yet. The Phillies aren't there. And you don't know what the hell you're going to get out of the Mets. I mean, if their pitching's healthy, oh, yeah, they're great. But their pitching never seems to stay healthy. So, yeah, it's just I don't know, you know, maybe I'm overthinking it or something, but yeah, it just seems like it's, man, why are we just giving up on this team? And, You know, I mean, you're talking, God, imagine if Stanton wins the National League MVP. Then they're getting rid of a guy who just won the MVP.
Yeah, but, you know, then they'll be like the White Sox and be able to get, you know, instead of just four guys, they'll be able to get eight guys for Giancarlo.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Just kind of nuts. But, you know, I did wanted to bring it back up. I know you and I talked about it, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. You know, the three UCLA players who got arrested in China, turned out they stole sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton shop. They were
just
placed on what was called house arrest. Yeah, just one pair each. So, you know, they were placed on house arrest in the hotel they were in. What I did find interesting, Dan, is, you know, we were wondering, like, what the, you know, the sentence can be. And obviously, you know, the law's a little different in China. Over there, it is a minimum of 3 years to a maximum of 10 for the crime they committed. So, yeah, I don't know if or how it's going to play out. You know, your buddy LeVar had a press conference the other day, but he didn't really say a whole lot. You know, the team is supposed to play tomorrow. Obviously, these three guys won't be playing. I'll be interesting to see what happens when the team goes back. Because, you know, if they're under house arrest, I mean, I guess they're – are they stuck at the hotel? They're not going to let them leave the country. How are your international politics, Dan? How does that work? You know, luckily, as you know, luck would have it, Trump and like most of the cabinet members happen to be over in China right now. I don't know if that'll help anything out or if maybe they can get involved somehow. But it's a weird situation, isn't it? I mean, what the hell?
I mean, weird situation, but dumb situation.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what kids do, isn't it? Isn't that what they're supposed to do, or however that works out?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, they could at least follow the NFLers and do it in their college hometown.
Yeah.
And then you get away with it. No one ever hears about it.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely the way to do it. You know, if you're gonna do that. That, you know, it's just so odd that of all the things, it was like, sunglasses? Really? That's what you wanted to take?
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, if you watch the, the Facebook TV show, I don't know, TV show, but all you had to do was call his dad up and say, hey, these are the kind of glasses I want. And I'm sure LeVar would have bought them for her without an issue.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it would have been a, you know, any type of deal whatsoever. Yeah, all he would have had to say is, hey, Dad, you know, I would like to get these, and okay, here you are. Hell, he may have even bought them for his friends.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, and it's,
you know.
And I hate to put it like this, but everything his dad's doing, he just crapped on it.
Yeah, and, you know, and I know, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are going to point at LeVar for this. This isn't his fault. You know, he can't, you know, the kid is an adult. He can't be responsible for him 24/7 like this. I mean, he shouldn't need a babysitter, you know, but obviously, you know, and I'm not the biggest LeVar fan myself. You know, Dan is a little more supportive of him than I am, but there's, you know, you can't blame him in this one. There's just no way, you know, he could do this. So, you know, but you know, Dan, I mean, you know, there's going to be people going, oh yeah, look, you know, he didn't do anything. So, you know, just kind of how it goes. But you know, I guess they were filming in China for, I don't know if it's the next season or if, you know, this season is going to continue. But yeah, they were doing some filming over there for the what's the show called?
I don't even know what it's called, to be honest with you. It's just I just happened to find it the one day. You know, just
for some reason I thought it was called like Ball in the Family or something goofy like that. But I don't remember.
That's probably it. That's actually the cheesy kind of title you put on it.
Well, it would be perfect for him, right? You know, that's kind of the deal there. But yeah, you know, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. And yeah, they had shown some clips. I saw a couple clips yesterday of LeVar actually doing some filming. And it was like, oh, okay. So they're over there kind of getting things set for. Like I said, I don't know if it's going to be season two or however they're gonna break it up.
Remember I told you the other day that season one ended, but you know, with the 16th birthday party, sending Mello off to school or Jello off to UCLA.
So yeah, it's, you know, so we'll get the you know, season two will probably have quite a few details on.
Well, I mean, the way things are going, is there going to be a season two?
Well, you know, they're filming it. I mean, at this point, wouldn't you want to show this?
I guess it would draw more people to view it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think controversy kind of, you know, it would probably get me, you know, like I haven't watched it, but it would probably get me to, you know, flip over and see what's going on. Because, you know, it should give you a little bit more of a, you know, an insight, you would think, besides just what a reporter is going to be able to tell you. So, you know, I think it definitely could be worth,
you know, wise ass, but was LeVar Ball friends with Stephen Marbury at all? Can, you know, he help them out?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that would be a really good guy to have in your corner there, right? If you were in trouble there. Well, I mean, he's pretty much a national hero. And oddly, I looked it up. It is called Ball in the Family. But yeah, well, you know, we'll have to kind of see how the legal stuff plays out, and if, you know, LiAngelo is going to have to do time in China. You know, do you think they'd make those guys play in the league over there? That would be their punishment?
For 3 years?
Yeah, for 3 years you're contracted to the Chinese team? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, but what a way to just really ruin the start of it.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to have to take off for the day, but we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know what to do while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. We'll always talk to you out there. Big thanks for coming on and listening to us live. We appreciate when you do that. But don't forget, the podcast is available anytime you want right over at TuneIn.com.